Good morning, everybody. I'd like to go ahead and call the Senate Finance Committee to order. It's the 13th of February, or 13th of April, 2012.
Friday
the 13th, 10 after 9 a.m. And it wasn't a good day for the Knights Templar, by the way. And, and hopefully they won't burn the chairman at the stake when we're done today. With that, I'm joined by Senator Hoffman, my co-chair, Senator Thomas, Egan, McGuire. The other two senators will be showing up shortly. There's other meetings going on. We've got quite a list today. We're going to go through the previously heard bills, and we'll be looking to the will of the committee. And then we've got some first hearing bills. We'll roll through them. So let's get going here. First up, House Bill 21, Suicide Prevention, Council Management, by Representative Fairclough regarding suicide prevention council members. This is the second hearing on this bill. We first heard it April 12th. The intent today is to bring the bill back for further review and look to the will of the committee. We have representation from Representative Fairclough's office. Set this bill aside for further review. Next up, House Bill 60. By Representative Seaton regarding Gooey Duck Aquatic Farming and Seed Transfer. This is the second hearing on this bill. We heard it for the first time April 11th. The intent today is to bring the bill back for further review and look to the will of the committee. We have representation from Representative Seaton's office. We'll set this bill aside.
Make our work easy there.
Further review. Next up, House Bill 78 by Representative Herron regarding incentives for certain medical providers. This is the second hearing on this bill. We heard it for the first time the 11th of April. The intent today is to bring the bill back for further review and look to the will of the committee. Do we have representation from Representative Herron's office?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Herron, if you could briefly introduce yourself for the record, who you represent, and give the public a brief synopsis of the bill, please.
Yes, sir. Representative Bob Herron, Bethel. House Bill 78 provides financial incentives for providers that Alaska needs in 10 different occupations.
We have two fiscal notes in your packet. 10 fiscal note from the Department of Education, 1 fiscal note from the Department of Health and Social Services in the amount of $2,842,900 for incentive payments and 1 full-time position. We previously had public testimony. Do we have questions, concerns from the committee? Seeing none, Senator Hoffman.
Mr. Chairman, I move the Senate Finance Committee pass CS House Bill 78 to the next committee of referral with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes.
Do we have a motion to move the bill from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes? Do we have objection? Seeing none, we'll move the bill to the next committee of referral.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Next up, House Bill 115 by Representative Johnson regarding naming of the Walter J. Hickel Expressway. This is the second hearing on this bill. We heard it for the first time the 12th of April. The intent today is to bring the bill back and look for further review and look to the will of the committee. And we have representation from Representative Johnson's office. If you could give us a brief explanation of this bill, please, after you introduce yourself.
Good morning. For the record, my name is Yasmin from Representative Johnson's office. Sorry. House Bill 115 is to concurrently name a 7.5-mile portion of Minnesota Drive and O'Malley Road the Walter J. Hickel Expressway.
Thank you. We have one fiscal note from the Department of Transportation and Public Facility for $30,000 in general funds for the manufacture and installation of signs. We've previously had public testimony. Do we have any questions or concerns on this bill? Seeing none, Senator Hoffman.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I move the Senate Finance Committee pass CS for House Bill 115, Transportation, to the next committee of referral with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes.
We have a motion to move the bill from committee to the next committee of referral with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note. Do we have objection? Seeing none, we'll move the bill on to the next committee referral. Next up, House Bill 131 by Representative Munoz regarding Community and Transportation Advisory Board. This is the second hearing on this bill. We heard it for the first time April 10th. The intent today is to bring the bill back for the purposes of adopting a committee substitute and look to the will of the committee. Mr. Hoff or Senator Hoffman, may I have a motion to adopt committee substitute version I?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I move the Senate Finance Committee adopt Senate CS for CS for House Bill 131/I as our working document.
And I'll object for explanation, and Mr. Peterson from my staff will explain the changes here, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Darwin Peterson, staff to the Senate Finance Committee. The only change in the committee substitute is located on page 4, lines 17 through 20. At the last hearing, Senator McGuire had a request to include the language that you'll see in this subsection F. This is dealing with the duties of the board, and it basically states that the board shall analyze the use of alternative fuels, including compressed natural gas, propane, and biodiesel, in community and public transportation vehicle fleets. That's the only change, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you. I'll go ahead and remove my objection for the adoption of CS. Excuse me. Do we have further objection to the adoption of CS? Seeing none, we've got one fiscal note from the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities for $112,500. Of that amount, $90,000 comes from federal capital receipts, $11,200 in state matching grants, and $11,300 in mental health funds. And we previously had public testimony. And if we could have the bill sponsor's representative please introduce himself and tell us what this bill does.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Terry Harvey, staff, Representative Munoz. HB 131 will establish the Community and Transportation Advisory Board, which in turn will bring a group of folks together to deal with coordinated transportation in Alaska. Thank you, sir.
Do we have any further questions? Objection. Senator Hoffman.
Mr. Chairman, I move the Senate Finance Committee pass Senate CS for CS for House Bill 131 to the next committee of referral with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes.
Okay, we have a motion to move the bill from committee to the next committee of referral with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes. Do we have objection? Seeing none, we'll move that on to the next committee referral. Next up, House Bill 246 by Representative Thomas regarding the naming of certain bridges and airports. This is the second hearing on this bill. We heard it for the first time, the 10th of April. The intent today is to bring the bill back for the purposes of adopting a committee substitute and look to the will of the committee. Senator Hoffman, a motion for version E, please.
Mr. Chairman, I move we adopt version E. That's our working document.
And I'll object for explanation. And if we can have a brief explanation on page 3. The committee substitute names Klowak Airport after Frank Pradovich.
Yes, sir. I apologize. I don't have the document. It's a very simple document outlining the wishes of the city.
Yourself?
For the record, my name is Rachel Calander, staff for Representative Bill Thomas.
Okay. That's fine. I got it here anyway, just naming the Klowak Airport formally for the name that my understanding is what the community has been called.
Yes, pre-established in the community.
Okay. We've got one fiscal note. Excuse me, I'll remove my objection for the adoption of the CS. Any further objection to the adoption of the CS? Seeing none, we've got one fiscal note from the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities for $93,700 in general funds. We've previously had the public hearing. Do we have objections or questions, concerns? Seeing none, Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the Senate Finance Committee pass Senate CS for House Bill 246 to the next committee of referral with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes.
Okay, we have a motion to move the bill from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes. Do we have objection? Seeing none, we'll move the bill to the next committee of referral. Next up, House Bill 258 by Representative Jewell regarding naturally occurring asbestos.
Hey, Mr. Chairman.
We'll have a brief at ease. We're on House Bill 258 by Representative Jewell regarding natural occurring asbestos. I see we have representation from Representative Jewell's office. This is the second hearing on this bill. We first heard it the 10th of April. The intent today is to bring this bill back for the purpose of adopting a committee substitute and look to the will of the committee. Senator Hoffman, we have a motion to adopt committee substitute version Q.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I move the Senate Finance Committee to adopt Senate CS for House Bill 258 / Q as a working document.
I'll object for explanation. Mr. Peterson, if you could explain the changes, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Darwin Peterson, staff to the Senate Finance Committee. There are two changes made in this committee substitute version Q. The first is the legislative findings was removed from the bill. There's now a letter of legislative findings and purposes that the sponsor has requested that the committee draft or the committee adopt. The other change, Mr. Chairman, is located on page 7, lines 21 through 24. This section deals with what the department may not approve a plan for construction with gravel or other aggregate material that has a content equal to or greater than 0.25% of naturally occurring asbestos unless these two subsections, 1 and 2, are exemptions of that rule. The addition on line 21 through 24 says that a project cannot use gravel or other aggregate material that contains naturally occurring asbestos unless that is treated or bound with a surface compound, including chip seal, approved by the department. The reason for that is because there is no dust or anything that is created when the naturally occurring asbestos gravel is included in a chip seal. My understanding is Roger Healy, the chief engineer for DOT, is either here in the room or online to further explain that change.
If there's questions.
That concludes the changes, Mr. Chairman.
I'll remove my objection for adoption of CS. We have further objection. Seeing none, we're back to the main bill. If the bill sponsor could give us a brief explanation after he introduces himself what this bill is, please.
Thank you, Chairman. For the record, my name is Brody Anderson, staff to Representative Reggie Jewell. Before you, you have HB 258, which essentially creates an ability for a community to move forward and use naturally occurring asbestos gravel when their only option left is to use that aggregate material. Basically, the bill allows for communities to step forward and request that their area be designated a naturally occurring delineation zone, and then within that zone, aggregate material that contains more than 0.25 by mass volume, naturally occurring asbestos gravel would be able to be used as part of the construction material. In situations where there's no community that could step forward, the state can create a zone to complete its projects when there's no community available. Within that delineation zone, contractors will have to submit a site-specific plan to describe how the material is going to be used and how the public is going to be protected from the effects of basically fugitive dust is what is the big health concern is to mitigate the dust. Along with the site-specific plan, there will be mitigation and monitoring plans that will be submitted back to the construction companies for them to follow to make sure that compliance and other factors are taken into consideration. The other thing this bill does is it defines an analytical threshold where naturally occurring asbestos begins in gravel, and that's 0.25 by mass volume. Everything below from 0.24 and below would just be considered aggregate material.
Thank you. We have 3-0 fiscal notes from the Department of Natural Resources, Law and Labor, 1 fiscal note from the Department of Transportation for $210,100 in general funds, and 1 new full-time position to develop and implement standard operating procedures. 1 fiscal note from the Department of Environmental Conservation for $27,800 in general funds to assist in the development of standard operating procedures. 1 note from the Department of Health and Social Services for $21,300 in general funds to assist in the development of standard operating procedures. We previously had public testimony. Do we have any questions for the bill sponsor? Seeing none, Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the Senate Finance Committee pass Senate CS for House Bill 258 from the committee with individual recommendations and the accompanying fiscal notes.
And with the legislative findings.
as well as the legislative findings.
We have motion to move the bill from committee with individual recommendations, attached physical note, and legislative findings. Do we have objection? Seeing none, we'll move the bill from committee to the next committee referral. Next up, Senate Bill 298 by Representative Seaton regarding exemptions for mining tax. This is the second hearing on this bill. We heard it for the first time the 9th of April. The intent today is to bring the bill back for further review and look to the will of the committee. And we have Representative Seaton here. If he can introduce himself for the record and briefly tell us what's in this bill.
Thank you, Representative Paul Seaton from Homer, District 35. This bill basically exempts the mining license tax from sand and gravel operations.
Okay. We have 2-0 fiscal notes from the Department of Revenue and the Department of Natural Resources. We've previously had public testimony. Do we have questions on this bill from committee members? Seeing none, Senator Hoffman.
Mr. Chairman, I move the Senate Finance Committee pass CS for House Bill 298. To the next committee of referral with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes.
We have a motion to move the bill from committee to the next committee of referral. Do we have objection? Seeing none, we'll move the bill to the next committee of referral. Next up, Senate Bill 302 by Representative Seaton regarding contributions from PFDs. This is the second hearing on this bill. We heard it for the first time 12th of April. The intent today is to bring the bill back. For further review and then look to the will of the committee. And with us today, we have Representative Seaton. Representative Seaton, if you can introduce yourself for the record and briefly tell us what this bill does.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Paul Seaton, District 35. And this bill eliminates the audit provision from the click, click, give program for the PFD contributions.
We have 1-0 fiscal note from the Department of Revenue. We previously had public testimony. Do we have any questions? Seeing none, Senator Hoffman.
Mr. Chairman, I move the Senate Finance Committee pass CS for House Bill 203, Finance Amended, to the next committee of referral with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes.
We have a motion to move the bill from committee to the next committee of referral with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes. Do we have objection? Seeing none, we'll move the bill to the next committee of referral.
Thank you.
We're going to jump back here. Giving Representative Seaton some exercise this morning. House Bill 60 by Representative Seaton regarding Gooey Duck Aquatic Farming and Seed Transfer. The second hearing on this bill. We heard it for the first time the 11th of April. The intent today is to bring the bill back for further review and look to the will of the committee. Representative Seaton, you know the drill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Paul Seaton, District 35, and this bill allows Gooey Duck farming around the Gulf of Alaska.
And we have 3-0 physical notes in your packet, one from the Department of Fish and Game and two from the Department of Natural Resources. We've previously had public testimony. Do we have any questions? Seeing none, Senator Hoffman.
Mr. Chairman, I move the Senate Finance Committee pass House Bill 60 to the next committee of referral with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes.
And we have a motion to move the bill from committee to the next committee of referral with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes. Do we have objection? Seeing none, move it to the next committee of referral.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Next up, House Bill 360 by the House State Affairs Committee regarding the Interstate Mining Compact and Commission. This is the second hearing on this bill. We heard it for the first time April 12th. The intent today is to bring the bill back for further review and look to the will of the committee. We have representation from Representative Lynn's office. If she can introduce herself for the record and who she represents and tell the committee what this bill is, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Nancy Manley. I'm staff to Representative Lynn, District 31. And HB 360 authorizes the state to join and participate in the Interstate Mining Compact Commission.
And can you briefly define that, what that is, just for the people at home?
What the Compact Commission is? It's a coalition of a group of 24 mining states that, and the...
Okay. group of 24 mining states that get together and work on mining issues.
Yes.
Okay. There is one fiscal note from the House Finance Committee for $40,000, in which $20,000 in travel costs from the original fiscal note submitted by the Department of Natural Resources. We previously had public testimony. We have any questions, concerns? Senator Hoffman.
Mr. Chairman, I move Senate Finance Committee pass House Bill 360 to the next committee of referral with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes.
We have a motion to move the bill from committee to the next committee of referral with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note. Do we have objection? Seeing none, we'll move the bill to the next committee of referral. Next up, House Bill 366 by the House Community and Regional Affairs Committee regarding disaster planning and services. This is the second hearing on this bill. We heard it for the first time the 12th of April. The intent today is to bring the bill back for further review and look to the will of the committee, and we have representation from Representative Fahey's office. If you could introduce yourself for the record, please, and who you represent.
For the record, Michael Pascal, Office of Representative Feige. I need to renew my ethics disclosures that we had last time so that we're clear on that. And this bill establishes an intrastate mutual aid compact between political subdivisions within the state.
Okay, we have 1-0 fiscal note from the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs. We previously had public testimony. Do we have any questions on the bill? Seeing none, Senator Hoffman.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I move the Senate Finance Committee pass House Bill 366 to the next committee of referral with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes.
We have a motion to move the bill from committee to the next committee of referral. Do we have any objection with attached fiscal notes? We have objection. Seeing none, we'll move the bill to the next committee of referral. We're going to postpone House Concurrent Resolution 23. We're taking a look at the fiscal note on that, I think. We'll bring that up at a later time. We'll now move back. We'll now move back up calendar to 21. House Bill 21 by Representative Fairclough regarding suicide prevention of council members. This is the second hearing on this bill. We heard it for the first time April 12th. The intent today is to bring the bill back for further review and look to the will of the committee. Representative Fairclough can introduce herself and tell us what this bill is, please.
Mr. Chairman, members of the House Finance Committee, Representative Anna Fairclough, District 17, Eagle River, Alaska. HB 21 affects the Alaska Suicide Prevention Council. It adds one member and a military presence on the council, and it provides flexibility for a youth member to serve to age 24.
Okay. We have one fiscal note from the Department of Health and Social Services for $4,000 additional travel costs. We previously had the public testimony. Do we have questions, concerns on this bill? Senator Hoffman.
Mr. Chairman, I move the Senate Finance Committee pass CS for House Bill 21 to the next committee of referral with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes.
We have a motion to move the bill from committee to the next committee of referral with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note. We have objection. Seeing none, we'll move the bill to the next committee of referral. Next up, we're going to shift gears a little bit, go into first hearings. We're going to bring up Senate Bill 217 by the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee regarding pharmacy audits. This is the first hearing on this bill. The intent today is to adopt a committee substitute, have the sponsor introduce the bill, take public testimony, and if everything goes fine, look to the will of the committee, which is a little out of our normal practice, but we're extremely late in the day, and this is an important bill to move along. Senator Hoffman, may I have a motion to adopt committee substitute version I?
Mr. Chairman, I move the Senate Finance Committee adopt CS for Senate Bill 217/I as a working document.
I'll object for explanation and invite Senator Egan to explain this CS or his lifeline, however he wants to
Great.
Do it.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Senator Dennis Egan, represent District B and chair of the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. And just briefly, passage of Senate Bill 217 will establish procedures and guidelines for auditing pharmacy records so that all pharmacies are held to the same standards. It has been introduced by request of the Alaska Pharmacists Association. Supporters of this measure include the Alaska Pharmacists Association, National Community Pharmacists Association, and the National Association of Chain Drug Stores. To present the rest of the bill briefly, my staff.
Could you just pause for a minute? I think we need to explain the changes in the CS and then adopt the bill. If we can have the changes of the CS, please.
I was going to say that Dana.
Version I.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, I'm Dana Owen. I'm staff to the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. Version I has a number of changes made from the bill that was first introduced. In section 2 of the bill, there are some 19 paragraphs. Mr. Chairman, I can, at your whatever you wish, I can either go through the highlights of those or I can walk them through through each paragraph. Which would you prefer?
I'd like to hear what changes in version I from the previous version.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, on line 8, page 1, the word such is added and replaces the word those. It's a stylistic error from the drafter. On page 2, line 6, we've added a new paragraph. An insurer, managed care company, hospital, or medical service corporation, third-party payer, or pharmacy benefits manager may not conduct an audit within 90 days after an audit in which no errors were found. We go on in this paragraph, error does not mean a clerical error, record-keeping error, or typographical error, unless the auditor finds proof of intent to commit fraud. Mr. Chairman, that provision about typographical errors was in one place in the bill. It now, in the new CS, appears in two places in the bill, a bit more specific than in the original, and I'll point that out when I get to it. On line 24, page 2, again, and this would be paragraph 9, we've added the words, unless a prescription was not dispensed, a physician denied authorization to dispense the prescription, or the dispensing violated a term of the contract. And this applies to calculations of overpayment by an auditor. It clarifies the intent that we had in the original bill. On line 31, same page, page 2, paragraph 11, it's a paragraph that replaces one from the original bill. To the extent that an audit finds clerical record-keeping errors in required document or record, the pharmacy may not be subject to recoupment unless there is proof of intent to commit fraud, or the clerical record-keeping error results in actual financial harm to an insurer, managed care company, hospital, or medical services corporation, third-party payer, pharmacy benefits manager, or a customer. Again, this expands on the notion that was in the original bill. On line 7 of page 3, paragraph 13, we've added the words, from the date of completion of the audit to the delivery date of the preliminary audit report, unless an auditor finds proof of intent to commit fraud. This applies to the interest that accrues during the time an audit is being done. Down the page on line 25, paragraph 19, this is a new paragraph. Patient information accessed in the course of an audit is confidential and may not be used for marketing purposes. And lastly, Mr. Chairman, in the new CS, section 4 is a new effective date. The original effective date was immediate. This one is January 1st, 2013.
Okay. Thank you. And I'll go ahead and remove my objection to the adoption of the CS. Do we have further objection to the adoption of the CS? Seeing none, we have got version I in front of us. Senator Egan, what does this do now? That you want to pick up where you left off? Or?
Actually, Mr. Chair, I was just going to introduce Dan Owen of my staff to explain the analysis of the new CS.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, if you bear with me, I do have some prepared remarks that describes the intent of the bill. Senate Bill 217 seeks to achieve fair audit standards that allow for adequate auditing of pharmacies while reining in unfair and often abusive audit practices. It's important to understand that Alaska's pharmacies are presented take-it-or-leave-it contracts by pharmacy benefit managers, referred to as PBMs. Pharmacies must take them if they want to be paid by their customers' medical plans for the prescription drugs that the pharmacies dispense. Contract terms can be and often are changed unilaterally by the PBMs at any time. It's not remotely possible for small independent pharmacies the kind of businesses most Alaskan communities depend on to negotiate better audit terms. Among the most abusive practices that you will hear about today is the use of extrapolation to determine how much a PBM may have overpaid a pharmacy. Extrapolation means that if an audit finds one prescription of a certain drug that was overbilled, the PBM can assert that every similar prescription was likewise overbilled, and then calculate, without examining actual dispensing records, how many such prescriptions the pharmacist was likely to have filled, and use that calculated number to determine the amount they recover. SB 217 would end this practice. Additionally, auditors can and do take simple typographical or Scrivener's errors as errors of fact and proof of fraud. SB 217 would prevent this practice. Dispensing fees, amounts paid over and above reimbursement costs of drugs, can and are taken back even in cases where the prescription was legitimate, the drug dispensed as prescribed, and only the amount of the reimbursed cost at issue. SB 217 would also prevent that practice. The bill would also place limits on when an audit can be performed, the frequency of audits, the length of time an audit can look back, the time that elapses between audit completion and a preliminary report to the pharmacy, and the length of time to deliver a final report. None of these standards are in our current statutes, and none can be fairly negotiated in a take-it-or-leave-it contract. Finally, SB 217 would keep patient records acquired during an audit confidential, ensuring that PBM's knowledge of individual patients' prescription drug usage cannot be shared with the arm of the corporation that retails these drugs, and preventing the retail arm from contacting individuals with offers that undercut their local pharmacy. None of the provisions of SB 217 are meant to prevent pharmacies from being audited. Rather, the bill seeks only to make the practice fair and to ensure that the burden on Alaska businesses is bearable. It is good to keep in mind that none of what is being proposed here is unique to our state. SB 217 is based upon model legislation that has been adopted in some 18 states, at least three of which have enacted their laws during the period of our current legislative session: Utah, Kentucky, and Indiana. And, Mr. Chairman, I was informed this morning that Minnesota has just sent their bill to the governor, and in Mississippi they are working on concurrence between the two houses. The bill you see here,
we're going to try to get the bill to the governor, too, waiting for you to finish up.
I've got one sentence. The bill you see here is a reasonable solution for Alaska. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I can answer questions.
Okay, we have 2-0 fiscal notes from the Department of Commerce, Community Economic Development, and the Department of Administration. We'll go to the public hearing portion. We will start. We've got one person in the off-net signed up, a couple of people in the room. Jim Prickett, is he here?
Good morning, Mr. Chair, member of the committee. My name is Jim Puckett. I'm Director of the Division of Retirement Benefits. We appreciate the work that everybody has put into this bill. It is very different than the original. We do have a handful of concerns that we'd like to bring attention to in recognition of our fiduciary responsibility to protect the health of the trust funds that pay the bills for the script. I can, because of the press of time, and I'll just limit it to the handful of items that we would like to address our concern to. There's many changes that we go along with, but I would like to point out that on paragraph 6, or excuse me, line 6, paragraph 3, we do have a great concern with the burden of proof to show that there was an intent to commit fraud. We believe that's overly broad. We are not law enforcement officers. We don't think that that's a fair burden of proof that we should have to prove on an audit. The other item that we have is paragraph 4, line 11 on page 2. We do not believe that legislation should limit the time frame specified in an existing agreement with two business parties. We would like to recommend adding the language, unless a longer time period is specified in a contract between the pharmacist and the insurer, managed care company, hospital, or medical service corporation, third-party payer, or pharmacy benefit manager. Then going down to line 31 on page 2, paragraph 11. Again, we believe the language is overly broad. These are civil contracts. We believe the proof of intent to commit fraud is an unreasonable burden for an audit. One example, it would be an adjustment to the quantity of a prescription that results in a change in the reimbursement, causing our plan to pay more for the prescription that was not intended by the prescribing physician. Such a change is not a clerical error. On page 3, line 7, paragraph 13, we believe that there is a time value of money that's universally understood and is in keeping with accepted business practices, and we believe that removing interest will unnecessarily reduce a normal consequence for errors, overcharging, stealing, or committing fraud. On page 3, paragraph 14, at line 10, we believe that this language is too broad by requiring us to accept any record, documented phone calls, or other written electronic record as proof that the prescription was delivered as ordered by the prescriber. Computers or phone log can be altered or counterfeited. We do not believe it is unreasonable for us as the plan administrators to require what business practices deem necessary to ensure that what we pay for has indeed been delivered. And on page 3, line 29, we would like to add a phrase to that to say, or any contractor of a governmental agency. And then on page 4 for the effective date, we believe that January 1 would be an unreasonable burden to put on all the pharmacies and the administrators of health plans trying to, what this would do is open up all the contracts and have to be examined and renegotiated. And 6 months would probably be insufficient time to do that. But again, we do appreciate the many changes that have been made to the bill and the opportunity to share our concerns that remain with the current version.
So have you, did you participate, because I've missed some of the meetings, did the administration participate in the first, or in the, helping in the draft the bill at all, or? What I hear is a lot of concerns from the administration on this bill. It's only a two-page bill. Pretty short bill.
I do have some language that we would recommend be added to the bill to take care of our concerns.
Okay.
And I can supply that to the committee.
I think we're going to have a brief Eddie's. Come back on the record. Senator Egan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Puckett, we've had a lot of hearings on this bill. Why is the administration coming in with all these changes at such a late date?
Many of the changes have already been recommended in prior hearings on this bill.
And a lot of these changes were discussed in committee. And I guess we took your information, but a lot of these ideas that you're offering today, we have not heard. And it's beyond me how you can now offer changes and even the effective date. You don't like the effective date. We've moved it back. It used to be effective upon passage. Now it's effective in January. So why would it take you to January to try to figure out what to do? I mean, that's a simple thing.
Through the chair to Senator Egan, we appreciate the change that was made on the effective date.
it would just be much better for the pharmacies and for the administrators of the health plans if they could have the additional time that we recommend.
Mr. Chair, just a brief comment. I mean, we have major pharmacies in the state like Fred Meyer, Walmart. We have small pharmacies like Foodland Super Drug, like Harry Race Drug in Sitka, pharmacies in North Pole, Soldotna, that all have offered testimony and ideas for making this bill even better. It's been approved in many, many states. I'm at a loss.
Senator McGuire.
Thank you, through the chair. Senator Egan, does this language largely reflect that of the other states? Is there a model legislation, if you will, that's come out and is sort of
We have used models from other states.
Senator Egan, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Excuse me, Mr. Chair. Through the chair, Senator McGuire, we have used models that were used in other states, and we have refined it to more finely point out what the issues that are in Alaska. We're a much smaller state, much more diversified, you know, area-wide, but we are using a model in sort of like interstate compact.
Follow-up question?
Well, just a statement, Mr. Chairman, it would be my preference to go ahead and support Senator Egan and his work. Difficult, I know, by the time it comes to this committee. I mean, this seems sort of sudden. I think the bill has a ways to go. It's my opinion that, you know, these small businesses, I know from not just Board of Pharmacy, but other audits can be very onerous and taxing. And the bill, I think, has merit. He's done his work, and I think we ought to continue it on in the process at this late date.
Yeah, well, this is the first hearing on this bill. The likelihood of us moving it off the table is near zero.
Okay.
So we'll have a brief at ease. What we're going to do is we're going to set this bill aside. Ask Senator Egan to work with the administration on their concerns and see if we can't iron these things out and have the bill back. So we're just going to set it aside for right now. And then when that work is done, we'll bring it back and discuss the bill. Next up, Senate Bill 286 by the governor regarding the geo bonds for ports. This is the first hearing on this bill. We heard the companion bill, Senate Bill 163, on the 9th of April. My intent today is to adopt a committee substitute, have the sponsor introduce the bill, take public testimony, and set the bill aside. Senator Hoffman, may I have a motion to adopt committee substitute version D?
We have a brief at ease, Mr. Chairman.
Brief at ease. Senator Hoffman, may I have a motion to adopt committee substitute version D?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the Senate Finance Committee adopt Senate CS for CS for House Bill 286 /D as our working document.
And I'll object for explanation, and I have with us Mr. Eiler from my office. Mr. Eiler, can you explain the CS to us, please?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, Weston Eiler, staff to the Senate Finance Committee. Mr. Chairman, the committee substitute makes mostly grammatical and formatting changes, beginning on page 2, section 3 on line 8. It reorders the projects in alphabetical order and just makes conforming and grammatical changes to the project titles. There's no change in either the projects nor the amounts. Second change, Mr. Chairman, on page 3, line 5, section 4, similar changes are made, again, just reordering the projects for formatting, no changes in either the projects or the amounts. That concludes the changes in the CS, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, and I'll go ahead and remove my objection to the adoption of the CS. We have any further objection to the adoption of the CS? Seeing none, we have the CS in front of us. Do we have anybody from OMB or Department of Revenue in the room that want to say anything or even here? Okay. Well, we've been, just for the public at home, this particular piece of legislation has been in the works in both bodies, originally recommended by the administration, and we're working in conjunction to move this package forward. There is one zero fiscal note from the Department of Revenue. We've got nobody signed up to testify on this bill. Do we have any questions from the committee? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and set this bill aside for further review. Next up, House Bill 282 by Representative Thomas regarding military training credit. This is the first hearing on this bill. The intent today is to have the sponsor introduce the bill, take public testimony, and set the bill aside for further review. Do we have representation from Senator Thomas's office, Representative Thomas's office? You can introduce himself for the record, who he represents, and briefly explain the bill, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Aaron Schroeder, staff to Representative Thomas. The goal for House Bill 282 is to make separating service members transition quick and effective. Alaska has seen approximately 1,200 separating service members the past 2 years. Many of those have received quality training through the United States military already. Experience such as wheeled mechanics, HVAC, marine pilots are direct experience transfers to Alaska licensed professions. House Bill 282 asks the Division of Professional Licensing, University of Alaska, and the Department of Labor to evaluate military training and education and assign credit where credit is appropriate without compromising current standards. Mr. Chairman, that concludes my presentation. I'm prepared to answer any questions.
There are four fiscal notes in your packet, three zero fiscal notes from the Department of Labor and Workforce Development, the Department of Education, and the University of Alaska. There's one fiscal note from the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development for $33,100 in receipt-supported services for an expedited regulatory process as a result of the effective date being moved up 1 year to December 31st, 2012. We have any questions from committee members before we go to the public hearing portion? Seeing none, we'll go to the public hearing portion. I have one person signed up in the off-net. If you can introduce yourself for the record, who you represent, speak to the bill, and keep your comments to 1 minute or less, please. Mark Sansouci.
Yes, Mr. Chair. Yes, Mr. Chair and committee. Mark Sansouci, Department of Defense Regional Liaison for the Northwest. This House bill is the same companion to SB 150, which the Senate passed on February 1st, and we appreciate your support. 1,286 service members retired and separated and moved back to Alaska in fiscal year 2011, and in the next 5 years, we foresee 1 million, almost 1 million service members separating from the military, projected to leave and go back to the states. So we appreciate any help you can give us, especially by passing this to help Alaskan veterans get credit for their education and military training. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Thank you for your testimony today from the Southern 48. That concludes our list of folks that have signed up to testify. We'll close the public hearing, bring it back to the committee. Any final questions before we set this bill aside for further review? Seeing none, we'll set this bill aside for further review. Next up, House Bill 301 by Representative Osterman regarding boating regulation sunset. This is the first hearing on this resolution. The intent today is to have the sponsor introduce the bill, take public testimony, and set the bill aside for further review. We've got representation from Representative Osterman's office. If she could introduce herself for the record, who she represents, and tell us what this bill does, please.
Hi, good morning, Chairman, members of the Senate Finance Committee. My name is Astrid Liovano. I work for Representative Osterman. We have House Bill 301, and the purpose of this legislation is to repeal the sunset date of the Alaska Boating Safety Program. Currently, the program has two sunsets. The first repeals the Boating Safety Act in case the state does not receive the federally anticipated funds, and the second repeals the bill on July 1st of 2013. The Kids Don't Float Loaner Life Jacket program is part of this program.
Okay, thank
and
you
if you'd like, I can give a sectional. I don't have to.
Thank you for your presentation. We have 1-0 fiscal note from the Department of Natural Resources for 1,450,000 to continue the program. The funding is already included in the FY13 operating budget. We have any questions from the committee members? Initial questions. We've got nobody signed up offline or in the room, so we'll close the public hearing testimony. Seeing no questions, we'll set this bill aside for further review. Next up, House Bill 204 by Representative Fairclough regarding state procurement code. This is the first hearing on this bill. The intent today is to have the sponsor introduce the bill, take public testimony, and set the bill aside for further review. Representative Fairclough.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the Senate Finance Committee, Representative Anna Fairclough, Eagle River, District 17. House Bill 24 clarifies the Alaska business license requirement for Alaska bidders' preferences for competitive sealed bids and proposals. It increases the dollar threshold for small procurements for supplies, services, and professional services from $50,000 to $100,000, and for construction from $100,000 to $200,000, for square lease space, 3,000 to 7,000 square feet. It allows for electronic bids and signatures. It eliminates an outdated vendors list, which the department handles online now. These changes are needed to prevent failures in the procurement process and help with Alaska bidders, specifically in rural areas.
Okay, thank you, Representative Fairclough. We have 1-0 fiscal note from the Department of Administration. Do we have any questions for the bill sponsor? Seeing none, we have nobody signed up for the public testimony online and nobody signed up in the room. So with that, we'll go ahead and set this bill aside for further review. Next up, House Bill 205 by Representative Fairclough regarding the public procurement. This is the first hearing on this bill. The intent today is to have the sponsor introduce the bill, take public testimony, and set the bill aside for further review. Representative Fairclough.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Anna Fairclough, District 17, Eagle River, Alaska. HB 205 streamlines the procurement process to ensure consistent application of the law, resulting in a more understandable and efficient procurement process. It eliminates a seldom used employers with disability preference. It consolidates all procurement preferences under one statute and clarifies which preferences are cumulative and those that may not be combined.
Okay. Do we have any initial questions? I don't think we have anybody signed up for this online or otherwise in the public hearing portion. We have 1-0 fiscal note from the Department of Labor and Workforce Development. We have 2-0 fiscal notes from the Department of Labor and Workforce Development and the Department of Administration. Seeing no any questions? Seeing no questions from the committee members, we'll set this bill aside for further review. Next up, House Bill 252. By Representative Costello regarding small business income tax exemption. This is the first hearing on this bill. The intent today is to have the sponsor introduce the bill, take public testimony, and set the bill aside. Representative Costello.
Thank you, members of the committee. My name is Mia Costello. I represent District 27 in Anchorage. House Bill 252 exempts certain small qualifying businesses from the state's corporate income tax until the business reaches $50 million in gross aggregate assets or the time period of 10 years goes by. The definition of the small qualifying businesses can be found first in the federal law. The reason it's there is because investment in those kinds of businesses is incentivized, relieving investors from the capital gains tax if they invest in these kinds of businesses at the startup. Numerous businesses and industries are exempted, and essentially what we are trying to do here is attract businesses that do not exist in Alaska now, have them here and grow, bring in the investment and the diversification, and eventually they will become corporate taxpayers.
Okay. So just for clarity, can you repeat again who is qualified for this?
Certainly. Industries that would qualify or are typical under the 1202C corporation include software development, biotech, pharmaceuticals, telecommunications, superconductors, business technologies and solutions, media storage servers, and video games.
So it's not for everybody around the state, it's for a targeted group?
It is not.
Okay. We have 10 fiscal note from the Department of Revenue and a $113,200 in general funds for one additional corporate income tax auditor. Do we have any initial questions for the bill sponsor? Seeing none, we'll go to the public hearing portion. We have one person signed up online. If you could start by introducing yourself for the record, who you represent, and speak to the bill, please, and try to keep your comments to less than a couple of minutes. We'll start with Tyler Arnold, yeah. Please.
For the record, my name is Tyler Arnold, and I'm the founder of Tyler Systems and the CEO of Simply Social, a company that provides social media services. I'm a 19-year-old entrepreneur born and raised in Anchorage, Alaska. I was 16 when I started my first IT company, Tyler Systems, and won the SBA Young Entrepreneur of the Year Award in 2011. My current startup, Simply Social, brings together a global team, all a part of a 1202 C Corporation founded right here in Alaska. Our C Corp status allows us to be more attractive to investors and geared towards international business. It allows us to be a high-growth company, or so every startup hopes. And while we may be global, we act local. And our home state, unfortunately, has one of the highest corporate income tax rates in the country. House Bill 252 would not only remove this burden, but would also strengthen our global competitiveness. I'm currently in Romania, working with our team here, until we all plan to return to Alaska to launch our product publicly at the end of April. My hope is I can show our global following and my fellow co-founders that Alaska plays to our advantage and that it's an easy place for startups to call home. I'd like to thank the committee for their time and attention and let them know that I'm available for any questions. Thanks.
Thank you for your testimony today. And this is the first time I've spoken with anybody from Romania, although they fed us Romanian goulash. I don't know how many times when I was a kid.
Well, yes, it tastes good, but as an Alaskan, I'm looking forward to returning home soon.
Okay, thank you. Okay, that concludes the call-in testimony. Nobody else has signed up to testify on this particular bill. Come back to the committee. Do we have any final questions for the bill sponsor? Seeing none, we'll set this bill aside for further review. That almost concludes the morning meeting. We're now going to stand at ease while we pass out another bill. We're at ease. Senate Bill 121 by Senator Egan regarding PERS and TERS retirement plans. This is the second hearing on this bill. We heard it for the first time March 30th. The intent today is to bring the bill back for further review and look to the committee. Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the Senate Finance Committee pass CS for Senate Bill 121 to the next committee of referral with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes.
Okay, let me read the fiscal notes first. There are three fiscal notes in your packet. One indeterminate fiscal note from the Department of Administration, Division of Retirement and Benefits with Buck's Actuarial Analysis attached. A second fiscal note from the Department of Administration, Office of the Commissioner for $769,700 in general funds for FY13 to cover the cost of reprogramming the existing system. That cost will level out to $19,300 in FY14 in the out years. The last fiscal note from the Department of Revenue for the Armed Board custody management fee. There is no cost in FY13, but beginning in FY14, the Armed Board's additional management fees will cost $593,000 for annual increases in the out years. We have a motion to move the bill from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes. Do we have objection? Seeing none, we'll move the bill from committee to the next committee referral. Our next meeting, just a second, I'm going to have brief add-ins.